Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, Ross Tucker joins us in just a moment. Part of that physical toughness that John has referenced many times here comes from Jalen Carter. We talked earlier about, you know, he could win Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know if he will in year two, but he could. I asked James to look up who's the sack leaders, because a lot of times that's who you're competing against for that kind of award. James, who's up there this year?
Yeah, no one going crazy this year. Trey Hendrickson is at 12 and a half sacks, leads the NFL. TJ Watt has 11 and a half. Daniil Hunter has 12. But I looked up the Defensive Player of the Year odds,
yep,
and not looking good for Jalen Carter.
Really?
He's not even listed. So TJ Watt's the favorite at minus 160. Patrick Surtain is second at plus 340. Nick Benito is third. Will Anderson, Jonathan Grenard. The only Eagle who is on the list, believe it or not, Zach Bond at plus 4,200 has better odds than Jalen Carter.
All right, well, let's talk to Ross Tucker. That certainly seems like a ridiculous oversight by, I don't want to say the voters because they haven't voted yet, but odds makers as they perceive what the voters will do. Ross joins us every single Wednesday at this time for an entire hour. And he, of course, the Ross Report and Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. Ross, good morning to you, bud.
Good morning. You know what's interesting, Joe, about what you just said about Jalen Carter? The reason why he's not higher and Seltzer gave the odds is because of statistics, which is weird because Quinyon Mitchell is right now the odds-on favorite for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he has, like, no statistics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the voters or whoever sets the odds, they're doing a good job of understanding what Quinyon's doing. There are some advanced stats now where they can talk about, you know, yards he's allowed or catches when he's in the closest defender, whatever.
Yep.
But you watch Jalen Carter and the amount of times that he is doubled and the havoc that he wreaks. And I got to say something. I know Sirianni was mad at him and he should not have done what he did on the punt, right?
Yep.
He should not have done the head slap to Cam Hayward's brother and just totally obliterate him. But can I just say
No, be real. You're going to say that's part of winning a game, right? That you inflict that pain?
I'm not going to say that's part of winning a game. I'm going to say I'm not afraid to admit that there's part of that that I absolutely love. I love that he has that in him, okay?
Yep.
And the fact, look, we don't want to have dumb penalties. They could have called it on the punt. It could have been really bad for the Eagles.
Sure.
You can't do dumb stuff like that,
yep,
okay?
Yep.
But the fact that he has that junkyard dog in him, the fact that he's not out there to just play football, he wants to beat your you-know-what.
Yep.
I absolutely love that kid. I love watching him play football. It is scary at times how much he reminds me of Jerome Brown. I think they're from the same area of South Florida. They both have that nasty in them. And I there are plays when I go back and rewatch it, I just watch Jalen Carter. You know why? He gets double teamed so often. And I was a guy that did a lot of double teaming as a center guard. A lot of times, those guys, they more or less give up, right? Like, they know, like, okay, I'm not getting there. They're doubling me. Not Jalen Carter. Like, I would almost tell him, dude, you got to chill on some of these double teams. Not him. When he's double teamed, he takes it personally, and he tries to beat the piss out of both guys.
Sure. I mean, well, John, what a joke that he's that low in the odds. I mean, what a because here's the thing.
I don't understand. It's the kind of thing where he just needs more years under his belt.
I think
in
that's
the
what
limelight.
Yep.
People just aren't accustomed to his greatness. They haven't seen it. It's too early. He's too young.
It's a shame, though.
But and he is great. He will garner all sorts of wonderful accolades. It's just people don't know yet. Hey, Ross, I've been impressed with Nolan Smith's sort of transformation this year from non-existent in my mind at times for stretches into like we really depend on him being out there and making plays. And how much has Nolan Smith improved in your eyes this year?
Quite a bit. Now, I will say the guy he went against and had success with Sunday, the right tackle for the Steelers, Broderick Jones, he's bad.
Okay, I mean, then that helps a lot.
I'm just giving context. He's a bad player. Yeah. He should not be starting. He's starting. He was
that
a first-round pick.
Yeah.
He was a first-round pick by the Steelers. I mean, John, you'll appreciate this. There are plays where they were sliding to the right, and they were chipping. So he had inside help with the guard sliding to him, and they had the back chipping the outside armpit. I mean, he's bad. That was a bad pick. He's only starting because somebody for the Steelers got hurt. And by the way, Broderick Jones and Nolan Smith played together at Georgia. I think everybody played at Georgia. Nolan Smith, I agree with you. He played by far the most snaps of the Eagles on Sunday at the edge rusher. So here's what you have with him, right? He is high effort, high energy. So what that means is he is a very high floor. Like at a minimum, he's going to get the hustle sacks. He's going to chase plays down from behind. He's going to do all those things and he can run. What he's figuring out, and this is now, you know, towards the end of year two, as he's getting more snaps, by the way, horrendous job by them not playing him more last year. Horrendous, okay? He would be much further along now if they had played him more last year. Not sure what the D coordinators were doing last year. But now he's starting to put moves together. He's starting to have a plan. You know, a lot of defensive line, when you're in college, is like Jordan Davis, all these guys, you're just a physical phenom and these guys can't block you. Well, you get to the NFL, they can block you. So you have to figure out a plan. You have to understand what the offense is doing. Are they doubling me? Are they sliding? Does he have chip help? Is it one-on-one? What's his weakness? I feel like Nolan Smith is starting to get it. He's starting to have a plan. And that happens with young D linemen.
Ross Tucker with us, of course. Ben Davis as well. A lot of Phillies and Eagles. They also will get to what Brandon Graham said yesterday about is it possible that he plays in the Super Bowl this year if they make it. We'll get to that shortly. Scott and King of Prussia right now. Scott, good morning.
Greetings, team. Good morning.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, I called to talk some Phillies, and specifically a name that came up yesterday, John Vukovich, and I think that's what the team's lacking. But before that, Joe, I noticed that you're doing some engagement ring ads. And back when you guys were on the midday,
here we go. Okay, ask your question.
We didn't really know if Amy was real, and
your
coworkers
right, Scott.
Didn't. It took a long time.
I'm but still not sure she's moved, real, but go ahead.
Now that we've moved forward, you're doing the morning show. You're established. You're in the limelight, Joe. Do you think maybe we could have Amy on air for some questions, little question and answer session? What do you think?
You mean about the relationship itself?
Okay, here's my official response to you. You ready?
Don't go there with me.
No, don't do it, man. No, maybe at some point. Maybe
like almost like a summer of Joe.
We have so many.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Let's just focus in on him
and his relationship. Yeah. Exclusively.
Absolutely. What you talking about, Willis?
Listen. I'm open-minded to it, Scott. Maybe. I'll give you an official maybe. You know what the beauty of a maybe is? It leaves hope out there when really not.
Yeah,
the door might not be open at all.
No, everybody knows growing up when your mom said maybe, that meant no.
100% real.
Right.
I will. Here's my other classic line, Scott. I'll take it under advisement. You're officially under advisement.
Because we have tons of questions.
I know you do.
Tons of questions. All right. Pivoting to the Phillies, One of the things it seems like they're lacking is that John Vukovic voice, the person that will go up to you and just tell you exactly how it is and how it should be. It seems like nobody's willing to do that with Trey Turner. And I'm wondering, Ben, you're close to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the John Vukovic voice down there right now? And it seems like to me they're lacking one, and it seems like nobody's willing to do what needs to be done.
Interesting question, Scott. Very interesting. Ben, what do you make of it?
I would say Kyle Schwarber, 100%. I love that guy.
But let me ask you this, Ben. Would Schwarber pay Turner a visit, either in person or over the phone, this offseason? If Schwarber actually believes the team can be better with Trey in center field, would Schwarber dig into that bag and say, Trey, I'm calling you up, man, to tell you mm-hmm. I love you and Merry Christmas, but also, like, we need you to move to center so Dombrowski can sign a shortstop? Because I doubt he would do that.
If there's anyone that could do it, it would be Kyle Schwarber.
But he probably said that. Players don't, right?
Having said that, this modern-day athlete, it's off the table.
Yeah, see, that bothers me.
You can't talk to them like that anymore. You can't talk to them.
But what do you mean? Talk to them like what? It sounds like that was sensible.
Keeping it real.
It sounds like that was honest.
They're not going to ask him to play a different position.
God, it drives me bananas. Right. It does.
It's just, all right. It's the way it is.
Yeah, and especially for $300 million, I need it to be the way I say it is. That's just, you know, if I'm the owner, if I'm the GM.
No, but Joe, the way that Ben's saying it, Trey's got the $300 million. Be like, nah.
No, I get it.
Which is ridiculous.
I get it. Listen, guys, the NBA yesterday just put in all sorts of ridiculous, here's how we're going to do the All-Star game. Weren't trying. They don't try at all. The regular All-Star game. Scott, give me an answer here. What is a simple truth you'd like to know?
Real quick before then, I just want to say that if you watch Point Break, you know when Bodie's going out to the waves?
At the very end?
Are you talking about?
Yeah. That's going to be Bohm. Bohm's on that board. He's going out to the waves. Oh, all right?
One last surf.
Right, so yeah. how many people are in the studio right now? How many?
Six.
Five? All right, six. Here's the question.
Plus Wagner.
Here's the question I want to know the answer to. And hands up. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Hands up for the chicken.
Well, first off, hands up don't work too well on radio.
well,
you know, the verbal thing is normally the better way to go. All right, but Scott, an interesting answer. James, is that too deep for our simple truth that we've been looking for? That's too deep.
Yeah, we'll get to an evolution and all that.
I mean, I don't need that nonsense here.
Yeah, it's a simple question that actually has a deep answer.
Yeah, don't tell me. Yeah. I can't give me that nonsense. I'm talking enough of that. All right, but Scott, we appreciate the call as always. Hey, Ross, are the Lions in deep trouble? Deep trouble.
Yeah, they are. And listen, from an Eagles perspective, it's great. From a football perspective and like a humanity perspective, I really think it stinks. I mean, they've never been to a Super Bowl. This was supposed to be the year, and I've never seen anything like it. They have 13 guys on defense on IR. They basically have almost an entire starting defense on IR, including by far their two best defensive linemen. They just lost Carlton Davis, who was their best corner. I'm not sure how many of these guys they're getting back. I know they are getting back my buddy Alex Anzalone, who's from down the road in Wyomissing, where I'm from. He's their captain middle linebacker. He'll be back. I don't think they're getting very many of these guys back.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing.
Isn't it eight of their defensive starters? I heard it's eight.
Yeah, well, now they also lost.
That
sounds right.
That's outrageous.
And David Montgomery is now. He's gone.
And now David Montgomery is a big one. David Montgomery is a really big one because they're going to have to outscore people. And, you know, you're going to need both running backs to do it. And now you lose Montgomery, who's like a fantastic player and clearly a guy that John would be a favorite of. I mean, let's put it this way, Joe. You know I do on Tuesdays power rankings on my podcast. They were one almost like for like the last month or so. I dropped them down to four now. Yeah. I mean, it's a big difference.
Yeah, no, look, we've seen a couple teams every once in a while. Like, I remember that there was a Cardinals team one year. There was like 10-1 and Carson Palmer went down. And then the next quarterback went down. And then they got to the playoffs. They had no shot. They were on third-string quarterback. They had a great record. They had no shot. So it happens sometimes. All right, let's listen to Sirianni. Obviously, the one seed is squarely on the table. Now, the Eagles don't control their own destiny. But we asked Nick yesterday about the one seed and his messaging.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the team. Nick, do you message to the guys this week? Will you message the one seed reality? I mean, do you even spend 10 seconds on we want the one seed, or do you not even address that?
Not even a little bit. Our sole focus is control what we can control, and what we can control is our game. Like, you know, and that's not to say that fans and you guys shouldn't talk about it all the time. I know you guys will, but
yeah.
Our focus is what can we control? If we keep winning and you know, if we win this week, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, but we can't focus on that. Like, the more you focus on things that you can't control, like the one seed or playing the Giants or the Cowboys, anybody other than the Washington, is the less you're going to focus on the things that you can control that have a direct effect of if you win or lose this week. And I'm a firm believer in that. I think John Wooden, when I read one of his books, he talked a lot about that. The more you think about the things that you can't control, the less you're going to be able to focus on the things that you can.
I think it's wise. I think it's very wise by Sirianni. And here's another element of it that I like. He didn't address, but there's a psychology to it that I think works in this case. The Eagles could go 3-0 and not get the one seed. That's a real viable possibility.
Right.
And
right.
You don't want to put in the guys' minds, if you have to play that game on the road after they've heard you talking for a month about, we really hope to have the game here. We really hope to have the game here. It really matters to have the game here. And then late January, you got to play the game in Detroit or Minnesota.
Oh, no big deal. It's fine, right? Guys. We always wanted to be on the road anyway, right?
Yeah, like, it doesn't, something's off there. So I think Sirianni's approach is, look, I think his approach in general to handle what you can handle in front of you is a great approach. I mean, it's what Malcolm Jenkins used to say, be where your feet are. Where your feet are. Like, handle what you can handle right now. Not three weeks ago, not 3 weeks later, right now.
This is it's so tricky. Keeping the team focused on what matters, which is, you know, right now these games still matter. We do need to win these games if we want to get that one seed.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the focus is divided to some degree.
Well, not necessarily. Ours can be, but that doesn't mean theirs is divided.
Well, I'm saying
I don't think they're thinking of the Giants game
focus.
Yet.
It's hard to keep the focus. When you think about the other teams we're competing against, the Lions in the NFC, the Lions and the Vikings, remember, the last game of the season, they're playing each other.
That's right.
So remember, that is a huge factor. That's an automatic L for one of those teams. One of the teams that we are competing against for that top seed.
Yeah.
Automatic W for the other
tie.
One. No.
They could tie also.
But guys, let me give you a scenario. Well, you're not going to tie. Let me give you a scenario we haven't talked about yet that I think is in play. if Minnesota loses one game in the next two, won't they have nothing to play for against Detroit?
No, they could still win the division. If they tie, I think if they tie Detroit, they win the division.
They're behind them right now.
Yeah, but they would have a. It's because they lost the first time to them. If they,
we'd have to look into that. Who would win that tiebreaker? I mean, my
Detroit
concern
holds the tiebreaker against both.
I'm sorry, say it again.
They do.
Yeah, that's what I thought I'd read yesterday.
Well, they currently
both,
do.
Both the Lions and Vikings have the tiebreaker over the Eagles.
Yeah, but that, Ross, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if Minnesota enters that game a game behind Detroit, do they rest their starters? Because even if they win, they're the five seed. I don't know. I'm just saying that would be a fiasco for the Eagles.
Yeah, that would be like that gets in the second and third tiebreaker. So I'm not I'm not sure. It's a good question. You're assuming that they each win the next two games.
No, if Minnesota were to lose
one, Minnesota loses one, and Detroit wins both.
I'm just saying, it's something to keep in mind. All right, go ahead, Ross. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the thing that's interesting to me right now, the positive for the Eagles is that the Lions are all beat up.
Yeah.
The negative for the Eagles is that the teams that are going to be seeded 3 through 6. They all have a chance. I mean, those 3, 6, 4, 5 games are going to be battles. Have you seen what the Bucks have done the last couple games?
Yeah, like, the Bucks make
the,
me nervous.
The Bucks against the Packers is what it would be right now. That would be a war. And the Rams, with Stafford and McVay and those receivers, the Rams against the Vikings. My point is, Joe, like all of those teams – have a puncher's chance. The only team that I'd have a tough time picturing winning multiple playoff games is probably the Commanders. Mm-hmm. That would surprise me. But what's changed now is while the Lions aren't quite as formidable, the Bucks or the Rams, anybody that would come into Philadelphia, they're not going to be afraid, and they're going to have the type of quarterback that if he gets hot could give the Eagles a major issue.
Yeah. All right, 215-592-9494. Heaviest, obviously, on the Eagles today, but also mixing in some Phils as well. Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Red Tag Bonus Cash is back at Armin Chevrolet. In stock now, the 3-row Chevy Traverse. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, we're trying to figure out how the Phils can get configured to be the best team they can be. So we ask, should some guys move positions? We ask this question, which player moving to the outfield would most help the Phillies be a better team? Is it Bryce back to right? Is it Trey to center? Or is it Schwarber to left? Obviously, with any of these scenarios or a combination of them, you could then sign or trade for players at different positions. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines. Speaking of the phone lines, something I'm curious for people to weigh in on, because we haven't even addressed it ourselves in the now 2 weeks or so this has been going on. What is going on with the drones? Like, I'm
surprised no one said that as an answer. I don't know if it counts as like a big
picture. It might be too big picture.
We don't know. Yeah. That's a problem.
You know what surprises
what
me?
What is it,
Joe?
Ross? What?
Well, let me just say this, okay? Maybe not. Like, have they gotten into like, they haven't really gotten into Pennsylvania or downtown or near Philly yet,
yes,
right?
They have.
A little bit. Someone told me yesterday, I forget who I was talking to. Someone told me, I can't remember, but it was somewhere around here. Someone told
me. Because my point is, if the further west they go, the closer they go to where I grew up, I know people that'll shoot them out of the sky without any hesitation
Ben
whatsoever.
Ben will shoot them out of the sky. We know someone right here.
Yeah, Ben Davis.
So, Believe it.
And one of the complications, Ross, the government hasn't said much, but one thing they've said is don't shoot them out of the sky and don't point a laser beam at them because you can misconstrue it for what you think is a drone and it actually could be a plane. And as some pilots have said, it could be a small plane. It doesn't have to be a big, 747. Some pilots have said they've had the laser beam pointed at them, and it scares the hell out of them and it affects their vision. So John, what are they? Like, all right, tell me if I'm right about this. It has to be one of four things. Our government, a foreign government.
It's not a foreign government. There's no way there are drones from a foreign government flying around America without, there's 0% chance.
A U.S. citizen or a non-U.S. citizen? Like, am I right that
it has to be, if nothing else, it's government regulated. Like, there's no way this is happening and the government doesn't know anything about it.
And by the way, James, I don't know that it's not a foreign government.
There would be issues.
That's war.
Of course there would be issues.
That's not what I'm saying.
I am well aware of that.
Yeah, I think it's...
All right, James, what is it?
I don't know. I think it's something government related.
Could be foreign government. Wasn't there a balloon?
This is drones all over New York City and New Jersey. Like, there's no way.
My brother said they're over. They've been over our shore house. You know, and we're down in the Tuckerton area, yep. Like right below LBI. Says he's seen plenty of them. You know.
So,
and that's
John,
kinda,
what like, is know. It, John?
Magic.
Aliens. Oh my God.
I don't know. I do. I think it's some the government simplest thing. Answer yeah. is the government is checking testing. Up on nuclear capabilities in some capacity.
Well, it could be a private citizen. It could be a company.
No. It's Elon Musk.
If it's a company, the government knows about it, though. The point is the government isn't just letting drones fly across.
Well, whoever knows it isn't admitting it.
If it is the United States government, why would they do it in one of the most populated areas in the country? Like, that's the thing that doesn't really make
sense. Maybe because that's where they have to. If it is for, like, nuclear capabilities.
But they could do it in, like, New
Mexico. But then why not?
They have to do it with their people. They have to know what people react to.
All right, let's find out what Malvern Prep thinks. Malvern Prep, Ben Davis, what the hell is it?
I think it's the U.S. government. I mean, they've been above our house in Chadsford the last two nights.
And you haven't shot them down.
I have not.
No. I'm stunned by this.
I have not.
You wanted to.
The thought has crossed my mind, Ray.
All right, well, like, if anyone has an opinion, I mean, I'm just curious what it is.
Maybe a more educated opinion than us.